Shall we now turn to the book of Judges, chapter 17? The book of Judges, chapter 17. And we'll just read verse 3. And when he had restored the 1100 shekel of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. The title this evening is A Christian Name with a Pagan Heart. A Christian Name with a Pagan Heart. In the book of Judges, we are told that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, that is, in the sight of Yahweh. They began to worship and serve different gods, the gods of different nations. What they did was, even as we see in chapter 17 of the book of Judges, they actually integrated, or you can say they joined the worship of their creator and personal God Yahweh with the gods of the people around them. They did not depart completely from their God, but added other gods and goddesses until there was no knowledge left of their true and living God. Therefore the Lord had to say, they lack in my knowledge and they perish. And this is what the whole world did. They believed that all the gods were the same. They made gods out of their imagination as inspired by the god of the sage, Satan. I'm going to read for you from Judges chapter 10, verse 6 to 7. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the children of Ammon. God made them to live under the power of the nations whose God they had begun to worship. They worshipped the gods of the Philistines and the gods of Ammon and the gods of the Canaanites. They did not stop worshipping the God of Israel, but joined the Creator God and the God that liberated them with these gods. Now among these many gods, the main god, the head god of all these people was Baalim, and Ashtaroth was the mother goddess. When they did this, God put the people of Israel under these very people. Okay, you want to serve their gods? Come, not only serve their God, but serve them too. They became their slaves. The situation of the Western countries is something like this. They worshipped the Lord God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ for centuries, but now are flooded with all kinds of gods. Allah is exalted, and Hare Krishna is sung, and Buddha is venerated, and the New Age movement, which is actually the worship of Mother Earth, is taken seriously even by UN. The worship of the Mother Goddess is celebrated, and laws are introduced to make it look like environment crisis. The bottom line is, they are asking us all to worship the earth, the mother goddess. We often use the term mother nature, isn't it? We say Mother Nature has provided for us this, and Mother Nature protects us from that. The term Mother Nature is rooted in the old religion, devoted to the worship of an all-powerful earth goddess, the Great Mother. The Romans called her Magna Mater, Great Mother. The Greeks called it Gaia, and the Indians call it Bhumi Mata, or the most well-known name is Durga. The Roman Catholics and the Orthodox Church did not want to be left behind. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 431, after the Council of Ephesus, Virgin Mary was officially declared by the Roman Catholic Church as the Mother of God. Now, non-Christian historians tell us that by making the Virgin Mary the Mother of God, she inherited the title of Cybele, known to the Greeks as Mater Theon, Mother of the Gods. It is interesting to note that the council at which Mary's status was proclaimed as the Mother of God was held at Ephesus. Ephesus was an ancient Greek center for worshipping goddess. There was a magnificent temple there for the worship of Diana. The whole of Asia and the whole world worshipped this goddess. We get it in Acts chapter 19. You will remember what happened to Apostle Paul as he preached in the city of Ephesus. And those that made idols of Diana complained about Paul, saying, "You see and hear that not alone at Ephesus," they said, "but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and had turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships." And when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," like Allahu Akbar. Think of this, dear friends. Paul experienced the wrath of the people of Ephesus for telling them that they should not worship gods or goddesses made with hands. Paul was under death threat, and so were all the Christians of Ephesus for speaking against Mother Goddess. And yet, Roman Catholics declared a woman as the Mother of God. After the Council of Ephesus, the worship of Mary as the Mother of God slowly spread all over the world, and it is very strong even today. By the way, there are only two major religions, you know, that vastly, actively, vibrantly promote the worship of Mother Goddess, and they are the Hindus and the Roman Catholic Church. Take note, no one complains about Mary being the Mother of God. Wherever she is worshipped, people from all religions gather to worship her. She is not an offense to the world. The one that is an offense to the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. So much of the titles that are meant to be for the Son of God are bestowed upon her. For example, who is the gate of heaven? Jesus. But Mary is called the gate of heaven. Ark of the Covenant. Who is the Ark of the Covenant? Jesus. But Mary is called the Ark of the Covenant. Cause of our joy, Who is the cause of our joy? The Holy Spirit. But Mary is called the cause of our joy. Morning star. Who is the morning star? Jesus says, I am the morning star. You can see how Satan is causing them to mix and rob the true worship of the one and only triune God. We said rosary in our house every day, and we mentioned all these titles and placed them on Mary. It was blasphemy. So we see both the Eastern and the Western churches soon became like the children of Israel. Israel went after the false god. So also the people who called themselves Christians. Christianity was joined to paganism. The Roman Catholic Church, which claimed to be the head of the Western Church, began to introduce the cult of saints and mother worship. And these Christians venerated, prayed and bowed down and served the spirits of these dead souls. Now on close examination, we find that the spirits that the pagans worshipped and served were no different from the spirits of these Christians who had the spirits that these Christians had introduced. For example, the pagans worshipped and served the spirits that would help them to find lost things. Or they prayed to a certain spirit to find a good partner in life. And these similar spirits or saints were found all over the world among different groups of people. They were spirits for every need. They did not go to God, but to the spirits. These were their ancestral spirits. So among certain Christian churches, there is Saint Armand. He is the patron saint of all bartenders and who produce beer, brewers and innkeepers. In Goa, India, we have pubs named after Saint Francis, Saint Anthony, Saint Michael and so on. What would they be praying for? That they get more customers to come and drink and get drunk? People pray to Antony of Padua. When people lose something or when a person is lost, they pray to Antony. Also, women seeking a husband pray to this spirit. My wife is to pray. Saint Aloysius, so he is a patron saint for those having hobbies. If you are an athlete, you have Saint Sebastian. If you are a photographer, you can pray to Saint Veronica. If you are a banker or a lender, pray to Matthew, the apostle. Obviously, if you are a political activist and a human rights organizer or a terrorist, you should be praying to Judas Iscariot. Now the Hindus have the same spirits. The Greeks, the Romans, and the other non-Christians have similar spirits to pray to. Africa, I'm sure, is the same. Yes, they're all nodding their heads. Now, just to show how it works among other religions, let us take the example of Hindu spirits, gods and goddesses. So as an example, we have in Hinduism, goddess Saraswati. She is the goddess of knowledge, art and music. So people for such needs pray to Saraswati. Lakshmi, she is the goddess of wealth. So if you want to become rich and want help in your business, people pray to Lakshmi. Ganpati, you know, the man, the one with a big stomach and with an elephant head. He is the god of knowledge, success and wealth. So those that want success in film industry, business, sports and so on, pray to Ganpati. Hanuman, he is the god of physical strength and a helper in times of trouble. So those that are aspiring to become sportsmen, bodybuilders, those that are in trouble call on the name of Hanuman. He is like the Superman. You know, Hanuman, this god is depicted as a monkey. Durga, she is the goddess of destruction, of evil, and the protector of the righteous. She has a tongue sticking out, red with blood. She stands on top of Shiva, her husband. And you should know who should be praying to her. These are some of the examples to see the common heritage of world religions which has departed from the one and true Creator God. You will find the same among the Greeks and the Roman gods and the gods of the Aztecs and of Africa. God is one, they say, but their loyalty is divided to so many other gods. So we can see a common spirit operating among all these religions. They look different, but on closer inspection, they are same. Well, if you look at the altar of the Roman Catholic home and the altar of the Hindu home, there is no difference. You will find so many gods and goddesses on it. They have different names and different forms, but the spirit behind it is same. The people of the world like to embrace all beliefs and all spirits. They don't like to offend any spirits. They are afraid of the demons. Satan has put this fear in people and have kept them all under chains. Yet, these gods will fight one against the other. They will make the people kill one another. Satan, after all, is a god of division, isn't it? He divides and he separates. He appears among all people as the angel of light, but once they are in his hands, they find themselves in darkness and hopelessness. He comes as an angel of peace and safety, but once you are in his hand, you become a miserable person till you die, and after death too. Now, dear friends, all of us at some time or the other find ourselves in great need. We look for relief from that pain and sorrow and uncertainty. We look for help, and then someone tells you, if you pray to so-and-so saint or so-and-so goddess, your problem will be solved. Now, since you are looking forward desperately to be freed from your problems, you tend to believe and you begin to pray to so-and-so god or goddesses. In this way, you constantly keep adding the number of gods and goddesses to your faith. And you know, among the charismatic Pentecostal movement, people there, it works out something like this. Somebody will come and tell you, oh, there's a great healer there. That guy he's very powerful. You go to him, so many miracles taking place. And you run over there, and nothing happens. And then you are told, oh, that's not the place to go. You must go to so-and-so church. That, he's a prophet. He's not only a miracle worker, but he's a prophet. And he just lays his hand or throws his jacket on you and, you know, you can be healed. You see, or shoots us, is it also? Yeah. So you can see, similar spirit, isn't it? We call this practice of embracing different beliefs or different philosophies and combining it to our lives and using it when we require syncretism. Syncretism. When a church or a nation or an individual integrates different gods and goddesses and beliefs in their system, it is called syncretistic religion. It becomes an all-inclusive religion. We have seen in the last 55 years or so, the popes going from one place to the other, meeting and praying with different religious groups, holding interfaith meetings. We have seen the Church of England and the Methodists and so many other denominations doing the same thing. They have prayer meetings where things are read from the books of different religions. The Pope and the rest of the leaders are preparing to throw out the uniqueness of Christ as the only Savior of the world and bring in all-inclusive religion called the One World Religion. Now, how is it that all gods and goddesses agree with this kind of religion, but there is only one God that does not agree with it? Why should the God of the Bible, Yahweh, be the only one that demands total worship to Him? Well, this is because He alone is the Creator. Yahweh alone is the Sovereign Lord. He alone is the Sustainer and the Destroyer. Now, most of the people may say that all gods are same and all religions are same. But in truth, this is not the case. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except by me. The God of the Bible said, I am the Lord God, and I will give, and there is no other God beside me. God said, I will not give my honor to any. You will notice that the God of the Bible means what He says, and proves what He says. And to show that He means it, when the children of Israel, whom God adopted as His own, when they went and served other gods and goddesses, He severely punished them. Not only punished them, but even destroyed them. For example, the 10 tribes of Israel were totally finished. Even the 2 tribes in Judah, He sent them into exile. And then when they nailed Jesus to the cross with the help of Rome, Israel was rooted out, plucked out from their land to be seen no more for 2,000 years. And even now, they are not gathered as one nation under one God, Yahweh. They are one under a political identity, not under one spiritual identity. Now, while we can clearly see that the so-called Christian leaders are leading people to bring in syncretistic religion, which is the religion of sinners under the influence of Satan, there is a deep confusion even among those that have come out of it, you know, and those that are there in it but cannot see clearly how, when we are worshipping the Lord God and His Son Jesus Christ, we could also be worshipping gods and goddesses, the saints and the spirits, which are basically demons. Most who call themselves Christian don't even ask the question. If I am the follower and believer in one God, how is it that I also worship and venerate and pray and serve so many saints and so many different spirits of Mother Goddess? Roman Catholicism is so steeped in syncretistic religion for so many centuries that they don't even have the reasoning mind. They are totally brainwashed and brain dead to differentiate the difference between monotheism and pantheism. I was part of it. The comparison we made between the Roman Catholic saints and the Hindu gods and goddesses are actually enough to show the truth. But let us take the example from the Bible itself. Judges chapter 17 to 20 actually bring this to light. And the mother of Micah, as we read earlier, has saved some silver. She has saved this money to make a graven image and a molten image. But she said that she had kept this money aside to the Lord. To the Lord. Now the term Lord mentioned in the Bible, in the capital, refers actually to the name of Yahweh. The Jews felt that the name of God is too sacred to be uttered by human lips. So they spoke of Him as the Lord, meaning the Creator and the possessor of everything. But His name is Yahweh. So this mother takes the name of the Lord of Israel, but she wants to make an image and worship it. Now Yahweh clearly had commanded never to make an image of anything and worship it. Yet this mother is going ahead with it and encouraging her son. And then in verse 5 of chapter 17 we are told, and the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. What did he have? The son of this mother, whose name is Micah, had a house of gods. He worshipped many gods. He had a house full of them. He is an Israelite, a monotheist, but has begun practicing polytheism, the worship of many spirits. Some Christians have their home altar full of images of these spirits, yet they say they are believers in one God. In chapter 18, verse 24, he tells those that had confiscated his God, that is Micah, tells those that had confiscated his God and his priest. He says in verse 24, "Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away, and what have I more? Look, I have nothing. I don't have my gods anymore. I don't have my God. You have taken it away." Dear friends, do you see the parallel between you and Micah? He and his mother takes the name of the one God, the God of Israel, but is worshipping many gods. Yet his mother and him were totally comfortable with it. They did not feel that this was wrong. After all, they felt that they were worshipping one God. All gods are one, they must have argued. Yet we find God punishing and destroying their land and their people. The next thing we see is that Micah makes one of his sons into a priest. He makes his son into a priest. Look at verse 5. "And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and concentrated one of his sons who became his priest. According to God's command, this was not to be done. God had appointed and anointed a tribe of Levi solely for the purpose to serve the Lord in his temple and teach his command." Once again, we see a parallel here in false Christianity. Parents send their sons and their daughters to become priests and encourage their sons to become pastors and nuns. Or the individual themselves feel that they should choose this way of life. But in the Bible we see that the prophets were called by God. The disciples were called by Jesus. Before being called, they were first converted to God. Isn't it? The Lord had forgiven their sins. They had turned away from sin and rebellion and unbelief. They were born of the Holy Spirit of God. But in false Christianity, as in other religions, the parents or each individual, according to their liking, becomes a priest or a nun or a pastor, whether they are converted to Christ or not. They decide on their own. Micah consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And moreover, when God is no more in society and in the place of worship, even priesthood becomes a security zone and an opportunity for gain, both materially and power. We saw what happened in the temple of Jerusalem before Jesus was born and began his ministry. The office of the high priest was bought by bribing the Roman authorities, and the temple had become a place of business. Now, there happened to come to Micah a Levite. He was searching for a place to settle. When Micah came to know that he is a Levite, he asked him to become his family priest and offered him a salary. Judges chapter 17, verse 10. "And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest. and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals, thy food. So the Levite went in and became his priest. Look, Micah had so many gods, but this priest, the Levite, did not bother. He knew well the commands of the Lord, yet he compromised. Or perhaps he never really read the word of God, but just the traditions of his elders. Are you a priest, or a nun, or a pastor, or a bishop? What are you promoting, dear friend? Your traditions or the teachings of the Lord? Huh? What are you following and what are you teaching? Are you promoting the culture of Rome, the culture of Germany or USA or the Church of England or modern Israel? Are you called by God or by your man-made church, which promised to save you through man-made traditions? Friends, you must confront yourself with this question. You must get yourself right with God before it is too late. Whom are you serving? God or an institution that is politicized, hungry for power and wealth? None of these cult leaders, even those that claim to be healers and miracle workers, can save you. These are false teachers. They are only there for their gain. You will notice what happened with this Levite who had become a priest for Micah. It so happened there came a huge army of the tribe of Danite. And this tribe of Israel were looking to extend their territory. And they passed by the house of Micah. They had come to know from their spies that Micah had an image and also a priest. So they came to him, took the image by force, and also took him by force. Now, when the priest protested, they told him, "Shut up. What is better for you?" Judges 18, verse 19 onward. "What is better for you? Be to us a father and a priest," they told him. "Is it better for you to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel?" And the priest's heart was gladdened. He became very happy. And he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. So priesthood had become merely a way to find food, clothing, shelter, and to look for new opportunities to grow in wealth. To be a priest had become to gain security. And today, dear friends, the only miracles that the miracle workers perform is piling their bank account. There are many that want to become pastors, but without much pain, without much discomfort, without much lack, and without having the desire to know the truth. And in so many of these charismatic and Pentecostal churches, there is nothing but talk of money, self-help, and growing in self-esteem. There are no challenges to live a holy and righteous life. It is all about how to be successful in health and wealth. Dear friends, when the church corrupts, the society corrupts. Christians are supposed to be the light and the salt of this earth. This means the world is supposed to be preserved by the holy and righteous life of the church. This means the world is supposed to be preserved by the truth proclaimed by the Church of Christ. You see how things spiral into degradation when you depart from obeying God and doing His will. And this is not all. Things become worse. When a society becomes dead of God, and each one do their own things from the imagination of their heart, society becomes perverse, beast-like. And again we see this happening in Judges chapter 19. There was a Levite, we are told, and he was traveling with his concubine. Again, We see the man of God disregarding marriage, having a concubine instead of a wife. Now this woman had played a whore against this Levite. And then she left him and gone to her father's house in Bethlehem in Judah. And this man went from Ephraim to Bethlehem to bring her back. Now to make the story short, while they were returning back to Ephraim, they had to pass through Gibeah. It was getting dark and they wanted to rest. So an old man of this place took them in his house for the night. Then something strange happened. The men of this town surrounded this house, beat on the door, and demanded from the old man that he bring the man out. The man he had sheltered, they asked him to bring him out so that they may know him. They wanted to perform homosexual acts on him. They wanted to gang rape him. The old man pleaded for his safety because he was his guest. This man was his guest, so he pleaded for his safety. And out of great respect for his guest, he said, "Take my daughter and this concubine and fulfill your desire." Then the Levite took his concubine and brought her to them. Then they gang raped her during the whole night, that in the morning she was found dead. Dear friends, is this the state of your soul? Is this the condition of your nation? Have you made your soul an altar for gods and goddesses? Are these spirits of wealth and knowledge and ambition, long life, health, position, hobbies and sex and treasures and music and power and strength trying their best to become your master and Lord? Are they all competing to have you all? Who are you really? What is your faith? Do you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you an all-inclusive Christian? Are you a person with a Christian name but having a pagan heart and mine? If you are a Christian, then you will believe what Christ Jesus, the Son of God, believed and had asked us to believe. Jesus said, "I have come to do the will of my Father. I hear what my Father says and does what he asks me to do. My food is to do the will of my Father in heaven." You cannot add or take away anything from him. Any other thing is from the devil. The images you worship on your altar reflects the condition of your soul within. What you worship within, you will live outside. Check your heart, dear friends. Who is reigning over your heart? Who sits on the throne of your heart? Friends, have you ever questioned the teachings of your church and the practices of your church? Have you ever questioned the immorality that goes on in your church and their stand on LGBT and abortions? What about evolution? Why do church leaders teach what unbelievers believe? Is your church concerned about your salvation and growth in holiness? Or is it becoming more and more like the world? What is happening to your church? Is it helping you to come to Christ? Or is it leading you away to marry other gods, saints and goddesses beside Jesus Christ? Is it telling you the truth and warning you and instructing you and correcting you from the Word of God? Which gods are ruling over you and your nation? Which people are overpowering you and your nation? Obviously, the ones that you worship. The gods that you have embraced for yourself, the people of those gods will rule over you. Isn't it? Friends, please read Revelation chapter 1 to 3. Hear what the Lord has to say to you and to your church. The Lord is not partial to any church. He will tear apart any congregation that does not follow Him alone. The palaces of your church, the banks of your church, the gold and silver of your church, the kings and queens of your church, the numbers of your church, the property of your church, the educational institution of your church, the hospitals and charity of your church, nothing of this has any place before God. Nothing. He demands that only He be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And so I end with 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Shall we pray?